Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:09 PM in the Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 17th. And just looking at the World Equity Index Futures page, I think it's safe to say that we're getting a little bit of reticence around big round numbers. The Dow Jones is a hair under 27,000. The S&P 500 is a hair under 3,000. Then you've got the NASDAQ pausing under 8,000. Down there, around the further down the page, on the Swiss market, it's just below the 10,000 level. We also know, for example, that the Hang Seng has bounced from the 25,000 level. So these are psychological levels where people just naturally reassess. And that process has been going on now for a while, about 6 months, in fact. The S&P 500 is right there in the region of its peak. I think investors probably need to see either some of the risk premium come off the market, which would be that this interim deal between the USA and China is in fact going to go ahead. We won't really know that until next month. Then we have the potential for Brexit to get resolved on Saturday. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And of course, earnings have just kicked off. The S&P 500 Banks Index continues to rebound in here, but it hasn't yet broken out. And we had Morgan Stanley reporting better earnings in here today. When we look at the S&P 500 investment banking and brokerage sub-index, well, that gives us a slightly different picture. It had a much deeper decline in 2018, and there's been a downward bias to trading for most of this year. It is rebounding, but it has more work to do in order to clearly demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. When we then think about what is likely to do better? Well, there has been a great focus on the slowdown in terms of global growth. Perhaps people have been too bearish. Earnings so far have been reasonably positive. Netflix, for example, came through with lower subscriber figures at home in here today, but better figures internationally. It still finished up on the day $7, but we can see that was a big reversal intraday, and it has just about unwound about half of its overextension relative to the trend mean. The problem for the company is that competition is rolling out quick and fast, and by going for a model where they have to invest billions to continue the pace of programming development, then they're sacrificing quality for quantity, and that's against a background of massive competition looming on the sidelines. Disney, in particular, is on the cusp of releasing its own streaming service, and it is steadying from the region of the trend mean. Amazon has not gone the same route in terms of quantity, but its programming generally tends to be better. And then, of course, we have Apple. And, of course, I think it is rather important here to notice that Amazon is bouncing from the lower side of this range. It hasn't quite yet been able to push back above the trend mean, but it is imperative that the share continue to hold the lower side of this range, not least because it has been the buy-the-dip share that has worked out best for investors over the course of the last decade. This is a bigger pullback. It did accelerate on the upside. If Amazon is going to remain a growth stock with the potential to deliver outsized returns, it has to bounce in here. And of course, then we have Apple, where the share did move on to a new all-time high earlier on this week, but it is also on the cusp of releasing its own streaming service. And this has been a very impressive rebound for one of the largest shares in the world. Well, this reasonably firm performance by some of the very largest cap companies is positive. It does suggest that there is potential here, that we're going to see the market break on the upside, and most particularly if some of that risk premium comes off in terms of the trade war. When we think about what's going on in Europe, well, those indices are also bouncing from the region of their respective trend means, but I think we probably need to see some positive growth numbers coming through from the global economy in order to really set investors back into the market. There's a lot of cash on the sidelines. I think that's one of the more important points. There is so much cash on the sidelines, it's quite unlikely that this is a market top of more than medium-term significance, that it isn't the top, but rather that we've just had a consolidation over the last 18 months. That isn't to say, of course, that valuations are rock bottom. They're not. The valuation is still quite high. I was looking at Ecolab, for example, in here today, and the share has been really quite an impressive performer over the course of the last decade. There was a definite acceleration in the pace of the advance over the course of the first half of this year. A process of mean reversion is underway, and so far it has been able to hold on to the majority of that advance. The problem, though, from just thinking about a valuation perspective, is that when we look at the PE ratio, we haven't had a PE ratio this high for Ecolab since 1999, and there has been a rather substantial valuation expansion even since 2011. So it would be rather difficult to say that this isn't an expensive share, particularly following the acceleration. Now the question is, where is the next rebound in terms of growth going to come from? The company specializes in doing the kinds of jobs that other people really would rather not have to do. So therefore, it probably is much more influenced by the global economy than the outperformance in the first half of this year would suggest. Well, that's something I think that an increasingly large number of companies are going to be dealing with. It's a question that investors are going to be weighing. So there is certainly the potential that when we think about the technology sector, then there's the scope for additional growth in here. I continue to focus on the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index because it has been such a source of outperformance. It also has this very clear pattern. These are the kinds of, we have evidence of failed upside breaks, but higher highs, just about. Then when we think about the fact that lows are continuing to rise, well, we have to consider that there are stops below 1500, there are probably stops around 1400, and there are probably very big stops around 1300. There is the potential that this is a type 2 top evolving. So it's going to have to sustain a move up and through this 1600 point level. It's going to have to reassert on the upside in order to confirm that there is a vacuum of supply above this range. And if that does in fact occur, it will greatly enhance the potential that the same thing is happening on the wider market. Semiconductors do tend to be rather cyclical. Personally, think that we are due the bubble phase. I think we'll get the bubble phase before we get the decline. And considering the trajectory of monetary and fiscal stimulus, I continue to think that that is rather likely. What was also interesting in here today was that gold prices have continued to steady. They were not closing on the high of the day, but what we're also starting to see is that silver is steadying, and if it can follow through on the upside, if it can, and of course this is still to be determined, if it can sustain a move above $18, then we can conclude that what we've just seen in the last 2 days is a higher reaction low. It is too early to really confirm that just yet, but the moderation in terms of the pullback is certainly supportive of the view that people are viewing some value in here. Platinum prices had pulled back by even more than silver, and we're also starting to see initial evidence of support starting to come through. Palladium was in mildly weaker territory in here today, but it continues to extend this very impressive advance. There is an increasingly wide overextension relative to the trend mean, which suggests that we are going to get some consolidation eventually, but there is obviously a supply inelasticity environment here, and that continues to support the price. If we continue to focus on the industrial resources, the nickel price pulled back rather violently in here today. There is increasing speculation that we're getting some movement in the physical market, which is going to address the backwardation that has been evident in prices. And the price pulled back and broke the sequence of higher reaction lows in here today. That is a very clear downward dynamic and rather increases the potential that we're going to come back down and test the region of the trend mean. Copper has been rather inert over the course of the last few weeks, but it is at least holding and rather than breaking downwards. When we look at it on a weekly basis, then the price around 250 has been an area of support over the last 12 months. There's still the sequence of lower rally highs. It just has to do better than it has done in order to really confirm that this isn't still a supply-dominated environment. And the continuous commodity index is just around the 400-point level now. Now, this is right in the region of this sequence of lower rally highs that has prevailed over the course of the last 12 months. It is right around now where if supply is going to be reasserted, we should see a downward dynamic. If demand is going to be reasserted, then this move above the trend mean will continue to hold. So there is a great deal of optionality around the price as it is right now. Saudi Arabia today announced that they are putting a pause on their IPO. They need to get their ducks in a row, and they need more time to get all the data together. Oil prices are steadying. They continue to hold around this $55 area. I think there is an additional risk premium on oil prices, and that is helping to sustain the price around this level. But it is going to have to sustain the move above the trend mean in order to confirm that this isn't just some steadying. Now, when we think about what's going on in Asia, then the Hang Seng was in positive territory again in here today. This is increasingly looking like a higher reaction low. Certainly some support coming through around the psychological 25,000 level. The Nikkei has been resurgent over the course of the last week, but was pretty much unchanged in here today. The most important thing, though, is that it has broken now the sequence of lower rally highs, and this is a meaningful move. We really did need to see it bounce emphatically from the trend mean. It has done that. It continues to hold the 20,000 level. 20,000 had been an area of resistance for decades, and now it is an area of support that is this continues to look like a first step above the base, and that is despite all of the negative arguments that are made about Japan and its potential for growth and the demographic cliff. This is a first step above the base. It suggests that there is potential for additional upside from here. When we then think about what's going on in terms of China, well, it's always tempting to just look at the stock market index, but that is state-owned companies, and they are very much influenced by what goes on in terms of government policy. When we think about what's going on in terms of commodity demand, and then the performance of commodity-related currencies and economies, then it is clear that the Chinese economy is slowing down. Quite how slow it is going to get before the central government there is willing to unleash additional stimulus, and particularly focused on the infrastructure and housing sector, it remains very much an open question. The renminbi was a little bit steadier in here today. That is perhaps more about the weakness of the dollar rather than any other particular factor. The dollar index has now pulled back and is testing the region of the trend mean. This is where, if support is going to be reasserted, it is going to have to happen soon. There have been a lot of institutions that have been predicting a decline in the dollar, and not least because of the size of the deficits, and also really because the economy is slowing down. One of the reasons why the dollar has been firm is because of its positive interest rate differential, but also because it's a safe haven. If we're getting less demand for dollars, then that is positive for the global economy. It suggests that risk appetites are improving. When we look at the total value of assets sitting on central bank balance sheets, the strength of the dollar has been one of the most important factors in inhibiting the rise of this number, but it is now trading back above its trend mean. It has at least stabilized around the $19.2 trillion level. It's still quite a bit below the peaks that we had back in 2018, which were a lot closer to $21 trillion, but it does look like we are in the process, potentially, of breaking the downtrend. That's an additional reason why I'm reasonably sanguine about the outlook for stock markets, because it's looking increasingly likely that we are going to get additional stimulus, and on a global basis. So I think that is perhaps the most important factor. Now, if the dollar is going to weaken further, and there is the potential for that, if animal spirits do improve, if the outlook for growth in the global economy does start to improve, then that desire to hoard dollars will decline. Well, it's also at least part of the reason why people are not also rushing in to continue to buy bonds. Now, the yield was not holding all of its advance in here today, but we do have a higher reaction low in terms of that yield chart. The thing to watch with this trend in terms of the price is while we have equal lows in terms of the yield, we have lower highs in terms of the price. There's obviously the interest rate is a different factor there. But in terms of the price, the sequence of higher reaction lows that's held since about this time last year is still intact. If that breaks, then it is very clear that less demand for bonds will also rob the dollar of some additional or some of the demand dominance that has sustained it. And then that could also be beneficial for the precious metal markets. It could additionally be positive for emerging markets generally. What I found rather interesting in here today is some of the smaller markets in Asia, like Cambodia, have been, and I was not previously aware that Cambodia had a stock market, but it has been rallying really very impressively so far this year. And the Laos market has also, I went out and found the Laos Securities Exchange Composite Index, and what I found interesting was the pace of the downtrend has picked up recently. We've had a very meaningful rebound off the lows. If the index can break its sequence of lower rally highs, that would suggest that the downtrend is ending. What I found interesting is that with interest starting to concentrate on the Mekong Delta as a potential source of cheaper manufacturing labor, Vietnam has been ranging in a tight manner between the trend mean and 1,000 for most of this year. It's currently pulling back from that 1,000 level once more, but when we look at it on a weekly basis, we can clearly see that it is trading back above the trend mean, there has been a reasonably meaningful period of support building over the course of the last year and a half, and there is still scope for some additional upside, and this is another market which could potentially benefit from improving sentiment towards global growth. Of course, there's a lot hanging on that sentiment and on the bet that we've seen the trough in global growth. That's certainly not confirmed, at least not yet. The Australian market was off its highs in here today. Now, part of the reason why the ASX has been doing so well has been the weakness of the Australian dollar. But if the US dollar is weakening, then that should take some of the selling pressure off the Aussie dollar. And it was up in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. It's at least suggesting that we're going to get back up and test the region of the trend mean. Some of the other weaker currencies, particularly the Brazilian real, is still testing the region of its lows. This continues to look like a bullish consolidation for the dollar, and part of the reason for that is because of political turmoil in Brazil, which is robbing it of the scope for a rally here against a background where the dollar is quite weak. What happens in terms of the dollar is one important factor in terms of global growth and liquidity. China's willingness to engage in additional monetary stimulus is another, and then we have the trade war. Well, at least the dollar is weakening. That should help to support emerging markets. But the other two factors are very heavily influenced by what happens in China, and so far they have been unwilling to either compromise on the trade front or to support the economy through stimulus, and that those two factors continue to represent areas of uncertainty for emerging markets. But at least we don't have three factors against emerging markets right now. The weakness of the dollar is a positive for just about everywhere else. The Nifty index bounced rather well in here today, and it has confirmed support around the 11,000 level. Not only did we have the big upward dynamic, we had an upside key from above the 11,000 level, cutting corporate taxes is a clearly stimulative measure for the stock market, and it is now back above the trend mean, and I think it is quite likely we're going to see additional upside. If this is part of a wider portfolio of measures that are aimed at supporting the economy and by extension the stock market, then that would be very positive for India to capitalize on the potential for manufacturing to move there. They have so far failed to build a big manufacturing sector, and I guess it is never really too late when half the population is under the age of 25, but they do need to start getting moving. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.